Morning. I am very grateful for Nick and Mark's help there. This week, we all know to be a week that we remember Thanksgiving. And so I wanted to try to help us to all kind of prepare our thoughts as we go into this week, that we try to have the proper mindset on how we should be thankful. God has bestowed upon us many gifts, so often that we overlook. And I feel like it is human nature for us to just neglect things and just go about our way and not give God the recognition he deserves. It seems as though when our new generation of youth that's growing up, they seem to be less appreciative of the things that they have and what price. But first off, I wanted to start off with the history of Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims started Thanksgiving back in 1620. However, Abraham Lincoln made it an official holiday on October 3rd, 1863. The proclamation marked the culmination of the 36-year crusade to make Thanksgiving a national holiday led by Sarah Joseph. A time previously reported, she envisioned a day filled of roast turkey, pumpkin pie, and sweet potatoes, and launched a letter writing campaign to members of Congress and governors. In a September 28, 1863 letter to Lincoln, she pointed out that he could continue the tradition set by George Washington, who declared the first national Thanksgiving in 1789 on the last Thursday of November. And this was the proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Skipping down the proclamation here. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional law, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, and guide all sovereign and nations, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase the science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. This was given in October of 1789. our nation had been, they tried to establish our nation with God at the forefront. And I feel like we should be very thankful as people here, as most of us are, of how our country was set up with freedom at the forethought. I wanted to move on to some characters in the Bible here who were noted as giving thanks to God for all the many blessings that they had been given. And Moses is the first one I wanted to bring in. Then Moses and the Israelites sang a song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. And this is in Exodus, the 20th chapter. And going down a ways, down to the 21st. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. We know that Pharaoh and his army was in great pursuit after the Israelites here. And just how great of a burden that Moses had trying to lead the Israelites out. And he was having to deal with resistance from the Israelites. He was having to deal with resistance from Egypt. And the amount of problems that he ran into, but yet he still found it a blessing to thank God for all the help God gave him. We know that Moses did not feel like he was able to do what God had asked him to, but God helped him anyway. And we know that this had to be a mighty big occurrence to go and see all these men who were crossing the river and seeing all the water come in upon them and knowing that you were saved from God, by God. In Acts, the 13th chapter, verses 22, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. David helped lead the Israelites through conquering one of the biggest enemies in the Philistines. David had many scriptures and psalms believed to have been written by him. If David, a man after God's own heart, was so well known for praising God, shouldn't we in turn be the same way? Even with all of what David did, when he sinned, he still praised God because he knew God had forgiven him. In Psalms 32, we read of David's thankfulness for his sin being forgiven. David sang to the Lord the words of this song. When the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people you saved me. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and have been saved from my enemies. Dropping down to verse 50 in 1 Samuel 22, it states, Therefore, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Moving on, I wanted to address a few times here Paul and how he thanks God. And blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And this is where Paul goes back and refers to David and the sin that was forgiven of David here. In Romans, the fourth chapter, it states in verse 4, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Do we truly think God has forgiven us of our sins? Do we believe that? Or do we just casually go about it and hope that God's forgiven our sins? Are we truly asking God from the depths of our heart to honestly forgive us of our sins? Are we being humble when we go to God in prayer? God does forgive us when we seek with a correct mind. We partake in the Lord's table every Sunday. I hope we don't take that for granted. Sin keeps us away from God. Sin is death into our soul. We should be thankful all the time. We should be reminded every first day of the week, which is why God wanted it to be this way. Christ wanted us to remember the sacrifice and be thankful for it. Come this Thanksgiving, are we really going to reflect upon God's blessings that he has given to us? Are we just going to be worried about how many helpings we get? God's perfect plan of salvation, we should never take for granted. Thank God that Jesus actually went through the death that he went through, that he did not chicken out like a lot of us would have. How many of us, if we were in the same place, would have ever considered dying for people who were mistreating us, who were beating us, who mocked him? Could we have handled that and still wanted to die for those people? And to die for people that he knew that would completely reject him? Christ's sacrifice was truly significant. It's been said that by some people that men are naturally good people. Aside from religion, man could be good. But we know this even by the mere example of Noah in Noah's time, how the men were all given over to their own desires. Man by themselves cannot be pure. They cannot be good. In 1 Kings 8:22, then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven, and said, Lord, the Lord of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven, above or on earth below. You who keep the covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. In 1 Kings 3:7-9, Solomon asked for wisdom from God, and it is granted to him. And in the 4th chapter, verses 21, Solomon greatly expanded the borders of Israel. And in the 10th chapter, verse 27, and the king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone, and he made cedar as plentiful as sycamore on the Shephelah. And of course, we remember the temple that was built. Solomon greatly revered God, but we know he as well stumbled. Another character I want to briefly touch upon is Mary. In Luke, the 1st chapter, verse 46, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary, we know, felt great honor in being the mother of Jesus. And her praise here is truly amplified towards God here. In Luke 17, verse 11, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled through the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, where were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Here you have this one leper among 10 that were healed that actually came back and thanked Jesus and thanked God for him being healed. We know that people that have leprosy, were kind of secluded, isolated from the rest of the people. So this man completely was grateful here in showing his thankfulness as he came back and thanked Christ. Let's not forget some of the examples here, like I mentioned before, about Paul in Philippians 1. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray for joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will tarry in on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. We know that Paul, even while he was in prison, was thanking God and doing God's work. He was wanting to help these churches to start up, and he was excited whenever he heard good news from different churches that were overcoming evil and that were doing what Christ wanted them to. He was thankful in the shipwreck. He was thankful most of all for the forgiveness that was shown to him. I would like to challenge each one of you to change the outlook that you have in your life. Change how you see things. Try to take a more grateful and more thankful heart than what can I get kind of heart. When you have a thankful attitude, it changes the way that you live your life. Rejoice always. Why would anyone want to follow you and what you have to offer if they don't see that you are rejoiceful and that you are happy? Pray continually. Do not stop. When you are in prayer, you're not typically sinning if you're in prayer, are you? So if you are trying to keep your mind thinking about God and trying to pray to him, that's keeping you away from sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, God, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's so difficult during times in the week as we go about our normal days to remind ourselves to have an attitude that we are thankful, an attitude of gratitude. Try to be not necessarily that morning people are annoying, but to most of the other people, they kind of are. But when you think of a morning person, try to not be so annoying, but try to have that personality where you're happy and joyful and you want to take on the day and share your love and help others to know the reason why you have your faith. I like the new idea that I've heard of people calling funerals a celebration of life instead of just a funeral. Because really, we are there to remember that person and hopefully remember what kind of example they were for us. Let's remember Paul's words in Colossians 3 here. In verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, to God the Father through him. And the next picture I'm going to show you, I don't mean to make you guys hungry, but it will. So while you're celebrating this week, in remembrance of Thanksgiving, I want you guys to remember this lesson and try to change your mindset. Try to focus more on what you should be thankful for. Even with us moving recently out to a new property, there are many things that you can complain about, but it gets us out, it gets my family out closer to nature, where we get to enjoy the beauties that God has given us. There are many things I'm sure that you can think of. Even when it comes to maybe having your partner that you're married to snoring at night, be happy that they're alive. Or, you know, if there's other quirks that irritate you about random people, take time to actually be appreciative that you get to enjoy those little odd things about your partners or about others that you're around. Put on a different perspective. Take on the attitude that you are thankful for everything that you have been blessed with. Because each and every one of us have truly been blessed in this country. If you are needing any kind of help, whether it be for forgiveness of what you have committed, or if you are looking to place membership or have any other needs that you would need to have addressed, come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.